Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who's like thunder, it's Pete Donaldson.
Watch ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you with us.
Pete, can I have some more of my cans?
Yeah, all right.
Give me some more party.
How's that for you? How's that for you? That's perfect. You like that, do you?
Nice and loud.
Absolutely perfect.
If you're going to ride that desk, pal, ride it. right?
That's an uncomfortable image for
what
everyone.
What did I say? Drive it. I mean, I meant
ride
drive
the,
it.
Ride the, ride the levels.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Conversation for before the show, perhaps.
there was a long and frank one.
Listen, Marcus, I'll be perfectly frank with you and the listeners at home. I tried to have the conversation with Pete before the show, and he didn't want to know. So we had to drag it into the on-air time.
Don't be frank. It still isn't loud
it's
enough.
It's
right. How loud do you want it?
This is great.
That's perfect. Right. That's as loud as it goes. So what is wrong with your ears this week?
Thank you.
You are. Don't worry, chaps.
You're doing a gig later, Jim, and that's the best you can come back at.
I'm getting it all out now.
What if a heckler comes at you?
Don't worry, this is not live, so we can edit it out, OK? The listeners will never ever know, will you, listeners? This weekend, Newcastle, they lost in Pete's presence. That's
all
not
right.
The first time it's happened. Obviously, I was banging on about West Brom. They lost further ground on their quest for fifth or full spot. we're good at cursing teams, I think, at the Ramble, when we say that player's going to do well, or that team particularly. So if you could put a curse on a player, a team, a manager, or someone from the world of football, whom and what would it be, Jim?
I would make it so, using my nefarious powers, that every time Jose Mourinho complained about a referee or had a snarky little dig at another manager or player, all of his goalkeepers would get an inch shorter.
I like that. Right,
and just an inch?
Yeah, just an inch each time.
So he'd have to buy the freakiest, tallest goalkeepers?
He would, if he figured it out. Because, you know, it would take you a while to sort of make that
straight
connection.
Straight in for like Pantalimon.
Yeah.
Straight
in. Obviously, as well, you know, it's not really fair on the players, so at the end of the season, they would reset and go back to their normal height. And I'm not a monster, so every time they save a penalty, they get an inch back as well.
I quite like the sound
of
this.
I quite like that, yeah.
I can see Mourinho being linked in the January transfer window with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
who's the keeper who's saved the most penalties? There's one keeper that's got a better reputation than anyone else. Yeah. So he'd be, like, massive by the end of the season.
Oh, I think you'd only go back up to your original height.
Oh, you wouldn't get taller.
Not? Maybe
why not?
Yeah.
Small print always makes it more boring.
it does. Excellent start, Jim. What about you, Luke? What have you got?
I've turned my attention to my friend and yours, Mark Clattenburg.
Mm.
And I decided that every time he makes a high-profile mistake, he gets a tattoo of said mistake somewhere about his person.
What, the actual image of the mistake happening?
Yeah, perhaps a little word picture.
Line of sight.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. He's not in the right position.
I'll tell you what, he gets a cartoon from that Keith Hackett You Are the Ref thing in the back of the newspaper about his person, of the incident, the time and the date it happened. Oh. So all of a sudden, he's got these Champions League final tattoos, his World Cup final tattoos, but they're completely overrun by the mistakes he may make.
Yes. How does that work, though? Do they just appear in a specific place on his body, or could it be anywhere? Could it just appear over one of the other tattoos? That'd be a nightmare for Clats.
I think it's just a random
just
place.
Just real estate, kind of skin real estate. It goes wherever.
Could be on your foot, like a tribal Far East gap year tattoo. Could go on your face.
What about if he makes a very, very good decision? It was a really tough one to see. You think, oh, how did he make that? That was excellent referee. It does happen.
It fades it.
Or,
he grows an inch.
Or does one tattoo, does it,
where it
become
counts.
Possible where he could do the licky-licky thing and get rid of it?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Licky-licky.
It turns into one of those bubblegum tattoos.
Yeah, and you've got to licky-licky it away.
Yeah, so
licky-boom-boom down
he's
in it.
He's got to do it himself. Yeah.
I think referee should have more responsibility when it comes to giving out just silly red cards. So that every time you've got to get a red card out, you get a tiny little red card on your body somewhere.
Okay.
And it looks like measles.
It. So you think twice about it.
Yeah. It looks like German measles after a while.
Is that your answer?
That's not my answer.
Okay. I appreciated the quote from Snow, though, by the way.
That's all right. It's quite right.
Peter.
Was it a quote?
I suppose it's more of a lyric, isn't it? Yeah. Carry on.
But actually, a couple of years ago, I put a curse on someone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Is he still
when in? Eusebio died, I put a curse on Bella Gutman and I said, Bella Gutman, you will never win another European title. And true to form, the very much deceased skeleton of Bella Gutman has not won another European title since that date. So
you're the only one in this room with experience of the question.
Exactly.
Which, that's a lot of pressure on yours, because presumably it's now going to happen.
He could kind of win posthumously.
Okay, is that your answer, the one you've already done?
Jim, I think we should push up on this. If Pete's got experience of curses, and they work,
as he claims,
I think you should suggest an entirely realistic one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do whatever sort of shamanic ritual you have to do to make it happen, and then we'll see if it works.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Okay. Does anybody know any voodoo priests or priestesses?
Well, you're the one with the experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just did a little one in my head. I went, I'll get you, Bella.
Pete, just to let you know, if you do all the stuff for the show in your head, it's not going to be as entertaining for the listeners at home.
You have to show you're working, as we've often said.
Yeah.
Thinking about people isn't cursing them as well.
I could show you the work, and I've always got chicken bones on me.
my goodness. You're always...
You're just essentially thinking about a dead man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's well, not I'm that essentially thinking about to. A dead man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pete's,
right.
Pete's essentially refusing to answer the question.
I said I've already done it. So that's my curse. Right, that's my footballing curse.
Not, something about Mike Ashley. Curse him in some way.
All right, I'll curse. No, I won't.
Well, we need to get out of him there.
Nearly got involved.
You probably just thought it.
Yeah.
Can we
curse him later in the bath?
I've cursed him many a time in the past. Come on, Marcus, give us your answer. Let's move on.
I would. Mick McCarthy's a bit miserable, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I would curse him that he would win no matter what team he put out, they'd win a trophy every year. That would just really annoy him, wouldn't it?
Give it to Moyes.
But everyone
he's the miserable one.
Moyes is all right.
Marcus, what about every one of Michael Appleton's games on TV?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Imagine Mick McCarthy.
He's just fuming on telly every week. Oh, it's 12th v 10th. Why am I on telly again?
You're trying to get the kickoff time for 11 in the morning on a Wednesday.
These Chinese fans are turning off in their droves.
I just think Mick would be, after a while, Mick McCarthy's like, well, we've won the FA Cup 6 years in a row. Do we really want to win it again?
I don't want you to name a trophy after me.
Can we get a league win in here sometime? I think it would be great. I think that, what were you remind me?
Mine was goalkeepers get shorter every time Mourinho moans.
Oh, that was good. You've got to say. Although I like the tattoo.
Mine has got his own name, Mark Tattenberg.
And that's won you the point.
Yeah!
It's all about branding,
Marcus
baby.
Miller. Pete's got me over the
Quite
line.
Literally.
Yeah. All about branding.
So, Pete, you can't complain because yours literally would not be spoken.
Yeah.
So
yours wasn't really an answer.
No.
Right, are we ready to talk about the FA Cup quarterfinals?
Yeah, I think
so. Some good news coming out of the Emirates is that they kept a clean sheet against Lincoln.
There's a lot of news stories saying that this is a great result for Arsenal and it was just what they needed. It was against Lincoln City, you mentalists!
We could still get battered in the second leg.
That's very true, Jim, very true. I tell you what, I know Walcott had an effort. I think it was Walcott or somebody had an effort that nearly went in.
It's a lovely save, by the way. It didn't nearly go in. It was a brilliant save by the goalkeeper doing his actual job.
Forgive me. I was trying to get up the other end for that effort that the imps had at 0-0. Yeah. At 0-0, you thought yourself.
It was just a bit behind him, wasn't it? He had to scoop it a bit.
It was a good effort. I don't think it was. I'm not saying for a second, you should have buried that because it was tricky to take. But that was the moment where you thought,
The killer for me was as soon, because Lincoln applied themselves brilliantly in the first, especially the first half, the whole of the first half, really. As soon as that fourth official put up the 6 minutes first half stoppage time, I thought they're in trouble here. it's a semi serious point because they're everything in their power to get to 45 minutes, to get to half time.
Yeah,
right? They probably think expecting 1 or 2 minutes, which is what it always is. Mm-hmm. They get thrown 6 minutes up there, even subconsciously. That's a huge blow for them. Huge blow.
Especially with the way the Cowley brothers have them, thinking about games, because they've said so many times in this run that they sort of break them into 10 minutes, don't they? So your game plan goes out the window.
Have an extra 6 minutes on the end.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Do you know that the Cowley brothers also, Danny Cowley's the manager, but apparently he's only the manager really in all but name. And him and Nicky Cowley, who's technically the assistant manager, they run the club together. And although Danny Cowley receives a larger salary, they split the salary 50-50.
Oh, yeah.
So they're very much a team of managers.
Oh, that's
so think of them as the non-league Roy Evans and Gerard Houllier,
Cowley's for England.
Yeah.
Why not? I wonder where they are now on the in line to the throne.
I mean, you'd probably say if Gareth Southgate gets the chop. Within about 18
slash
months.
Is released.
Yeah, in about 18 months. I mean, the Cowleys, you've been installing them as 7th, 8th favourite players.
In front of Big Sam.
The thing is that it isn't that far away. That's the trouble.
They turn it down.
And they'd be wise to.
I'm excited to see what they get up to in the league. I mean, I'm hoping my beloved Portsmouth aren't in League 2 next season, but if they are, I'll obviously take a more vested interest in League 2, and Lincoln are probably going to be in League 2 next season. It'll be fascinating to see how they get on in the realms of league football.
That's right, yeah. But they were beaten 5-0, of course, and I think that Arsenal, they just dragged them one way or the other. Yeah. Most of the time, they had the sort of 8, 7 or 8 men in the box, Lincoln, and that was to be the case. But Wenger, after the match, he was still reeling from the referee's performance against Bayern.
I mean, it was quite a heavy defeat, wasn't it?
But I mean, it's a bit Mark McGee, is it not?
Yeah.
This is amazing. Wenger said that he accepted the first leg defeat, right, 5-1.
Yeah.
Right? And the, but the second one was ruined by the referee. But the first one was 5-1.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't think I remember Wenger being under so much pressure, and I don't remember the last time Wenger wasn't under pressure at the same time. It's got that.
I look at him and I just think, you're not enjoying it. You are not enjoying it. Don't tell me for one second you're enjoying any part of this, because you're not.
Didn't he sit down with the Cowleys for a good couple of hours after
apparently
the match?
So, yeah.
And said, they please get me out of it.
Asking their advice.
Release me like a big, horrible pigeon.
Have you heard of the reality show Wife Swap? Would you be interested in Job Swap?
How would you have set up against Biden?
Because I've run all my stats. I've run the possible simulations that could have happened on that night.
What are the refs like in non-league?
If anything, that was a best-case scenario.
I thought it was nice, though, and Wenger had a nice smile for them at the end of the game.
You could see how much the Arsenal needed that win by the pure glee on the face of Aaron Ramsey as he walked the ball into the net.
Yeah.
Like, one for old times there, walking it in.
Wenger seems to be quite taken by the non-league sides they've faced. Against Sutton, he seemed to be...
I can win.
That's very true. He seemed to be quite taken by the whole atmosphere and all the rest of it. And Arsenal gave Sutton United a bit of money, didn't they, or something for some development.
£50,000, I think it was.
Is that right? For some, some pies or whatever. And then when they played the Imps, Wenger... I think his future lies in non-league football.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Wenger sees himself
fascinating creatures, he says.
Yeah.
Fascinating creatures.
To be absolutely fair to Lincoln, I mean, the BBC were reporting they had 23% possession, which is more than Burnley had against Liverpool when they beat them.
More than Newcastle got at the weekend.
Lincoln in the first half, they were superb. They were so organised and so tight. And, if you come to that game cold, I don't think you'd think the gulf was as big as it is.
No, the problem for Lincoln is they just will have never faced a side.
And it's also the fact that they went into the half-time a goal down. They're unlucky to be a goal down. It's a killer for them. Danny Cowley said it was the second half was the longest half of football in his career. Yeah. And he also said it felt like Arsenal brought about 15 players off. Because they were obviously hugely fitter and more athletic. Yeah. They dragged. Clearly, when you've not got the ball, it's a lot more tiring to play football. Mm. So it just really caught up with them in the end. And also, bear in mind, Lincoln, I think, have played 48 games already this season. A lot of games.
Well, they're in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, and they've got the FA Trophy semi-final. So I think they'll go on to play something like 64 games this season if they get to the final, which
they
probably will.
No wonder they need two managers.
Yeah. That's absolutely two of everything.
I think it might be 63. I think they can technically play another 15 games.
I think what was great for Lincoln, though, is obviously the cup run, but the fact is that they had some great scalps. They had a Premier League scalp.
Away? Yeah.
Away from home on the day. And they got to play a great big glamorous stadium against a big side like Arsenal. Because had they been beaten away at Burnley, that's still brilliant, don't get me wrong, flipping heck.
Yeah.
But they got that big glamour tie.
Yeah.
Because we said about them that away to Burnley was perhaps maybe not the one they wanted, because you either sort of have a, Millwall at home where you think, we could maybe get through here. Or you go, right, cards on the table, we're away at Stamford Bridge or the Emirates or Old Trafford or something
like
that.
Just enjoy it, yeah.
Right.
I think they did enjoy it.
And they got
it.
Both.
And I think Danny Kelly made a point afterwards of making the players enjoy the moment, and they went and chatted to the 9,000 fans that made a trip, which is a great effort.
Yeah.
A highlight for me, in a weird way, did anyone hear Lincoln, Jonathan Pearce's comments before the game? You know sort of when top-level commentators do this patronising thing about non-league players and the jobs they have and all that other stuff, right? Jonathan Pearce clearly couldn't find a player because I guess they're full-time players at Lincoln, I presume. He couldn't find a really patronising job to talk about. Mm-hmm. So he said this, and I promise you he said this. This is a direct quote. And whatever happens here this afternoon, Lincoln's Muldoon will be in a Pilates class with his mum on Thursday.
Yes.
So he got a bit of usable news, didn't he?
He's not got to do anything.
That's very strange, isn't it?
Why would he not go if they won?
Forget you, mum.
Whatever, I tell you something. He said to the people in the class, don't worry about it, you'll probably see me on TV at the weekend. Whatever happens, I'll be here Thursday. I'll pay myself to the end of the month.
That's right. Although, if they'd have won, I think the piss-up would have gone on probably till the next weekend.
Yeah, it might have done. And I also was deeply saddened in my heart to see that man with his son and a Wexit banner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, no, no one's coming out of that with any credit.
That was right near my old house. I was really annoyed. It was actually on my street.
And would you expect from Pexit? Well, if you still living there, would have been Pexit.
It was. No, they made it very clear that I needed to leave North London.
It wasn't banners.
It was a torch.
It was a dawn raid.
They burned down my house.
They got tattoos of it, didn't they? What about Spurs? They beat Millwall 6-0. Even Janssen scored.
Took them apart.
My goodness. Hammer and Kane limped off. A bit of a worry. That's a shame.
What was the update with that? Can we get a Jonathan Pearce style update?
Whatever happens, he's going to be
doing Pilates.
He's going to be aqua aerobics on Thursday. I think they're still waiting for the results of a scan. But he missed. It's the same ankle he missed 7 weeks in September.
Yeah, so he might not play again.
There is talk that he could miss the season. But I mean, Son scored a hat trick in that game, and he's the obvious one to come in. And he had a brilliant spell while Kane was out the first time. So obviously they are going to miss Kane, but it's not like they don't have an able deputy.
And they could have had so many goals in that game. And I also want to spare a thought for Vinny Janssen. Because there's a lot of self-deprecating stuff from Spurs fans. That meme that went around the Jurassic Park meme, which is funny, of him actually scoring and all that stuff. But if you look at... I remember when he signed for Spurs. He was for RZ when he moved. And I remember there was a compilation video of him on YouTube with the goals he had scored for RZ. You're right.
Sorry.
Ow.
And it's a compilation video of the goals he scored for RZ. And if you watch that, it's probably still up. You can see why Pochettino wanted him. Yeah. He scores different types of goals. He's clearly a very confident forward in that division. And I'm not saying he's as good as Harry Kane or he's particularly like Harry Kane necessarily, even physically. But he can do what Harry Kane can do at that level. He scored different types of goals. So I could see why they signed him. Clearly, it's been taken him a while to settle in. But maybe that goal from open play, which was a beautiful finish, by the way.
Nice fin.
Will be brilliant for his confidence.
There were some fantastic goals that weren't kind of... You wouldn't say that they... it was to do with the gulf of class and with the two teams. The first goal from Son, for example, was just, no one was saving that. It was a cracking shot.
I felt sorry for the goalkeeper. I mean,
the last goal from Son.
Yeah.
All right.
The Millwall goalkeeper had been under a lot of intense pressure. I mean, it was like he finally. It was like
that
the
was his NAM, wasn't
like,
it? Really,
it was like the end of like a selection process.
If I let this one in, will you stop?
Yeah. It's finally crumbled.
Yeah, it was a nice way to for Son to answer the nasty chance that were going on.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I do agree with that to an extent. I don't think he should be relied upon have to answer those challenges.
He had a shit game, so he deserved it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
No, all right, okay. Yeah. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. I think, no one likes to see it. I think also Millwall have had... Well, there was an individual in the game against Watford who was seen to be racially abusing Jerome Sinclair, and that's still being under investigation. But I think the sickening thing about this one particularly was the fact that it was a larger group of people.
Yeah.
And it was a chant rather than an individual attacking a player on a one-to-one basis. So
I think sometimes players from that part of the world, that kind of racism isn't perhaps judged as being as harsh as players with darker skin, for example.
Wrongly so. I agree, and I think it's absolutely wrong. And I think... there is the power does exist to do something about it. I think when you have an individual one-on-one thing with the Jerome Sinclair incident, which has been investigated now, as I've said, it's far easier to pinpoint that guy with all the CCTVs around and punish him. But I do think, and I've said this before on this show a couple of years ago in response to something else, I forget which incident specifically, if you've got a large group doing it, I think it's perfectly acceptable to punish the entire club. I think you have to say to them, fans have to stay away. And then you have to collectively raise the consciousness and say... You're not going to go to the. You're not going to go and watch your team because a massive amount of you cannot be trusted to do anything to do the right thing. And until that changes, we're not going to hear about it. And the FA
until that problem becomes isolatable, like sort of say it was you or it was you, Steve in Raw Z whatever.
Yeah,
because it's a collective people. Just have closed door games.
I think they wouldn't do that though because they wouldn't want to sort of tarnish the image of the league more than they want to actually sort out the problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think you got. It's a short term loss for a long term gain.
I mean, I agree with that, but I think. I don't know if I trust the powers that be to actually deal with it with that much authority,
The FA get decisions wrong all the time. We talked about it last week. A different issue, but the Tyrone Mings thing, I personally think they got that wrong. But the fact that they get things wrong on more than one occasion and more often than not doesn't mean they don't have the power to make the right decision. They just don't choose to do so. Mm. So if
they were going to choose to do it, would they choose their Premier product, the Premier League, or would they choose the FA Cup to do anything about it? They probably wouldn't act they had the choice.
On your earlier point about Far Eastern Asian players, perhaps it's not being perceived as being as serious. I mean, it's an interesting point and one that should be expanded on a little bit because we like, as a nation of football fans, we like to sort of have the high ground here. We like to talk on this show, for example, about the fact that Balotelli's been abused in Italy again, and we're very quick to say he's been abused in France, and we're very proud to say that he wasn't abused broadly when he was here in the Premier League, and we should be very proud of that. Mm. I mean, this is as bad. We mm-hmm. shouldn't be getting comfortable with talking about, you know, judging different types of racism. We should be saying all racism is deplorable and absolutely unacceptable, and this is as bad as that. And we should hold our hands up
but
and
that's
say
that's exactly what we are saying, to be honest.
Yeah, we are now. Yeah,
I think it's a good point, a strange way those are approached.
But overall, it was a fantastic performance. Let's talk about the football. It was a fantastic performance by Spurs. They played a great tempo, a high tempo. They could have scored so many goals. At home, they are, you know, probably, if not the best team in the country, they're certainly one of them. And the irony being, of course, they now go to Wembley where they've had problems.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think that would give them an advantage, though, having played there three times already this season?
Well, it won't be billed as a...
No.
It won't be billed... I mean, it may, obviously, on the actual fixture list, it may be, depending on where they're drawn, but it won't be billed like the Champions League games were as a home fixture.
Oh, no, of course not.
So they might be OK.
But, yeah, do you want to go back in the cupboard of snacks? No. I'm going to say no on that one.
Yeah.
Are going to perform any better? Probably not.
You know, when I embarrassed myself the other week saying that all pitches were the same size, and then I had to caveat it by saying that some of the pitches aren't, because the stadiums were too old.
Are you doubling down?
Well, Spurs,
some of the pitches are the same.
I just want to say that you're all wrong.
Pitches get snitches.
A point has been made that Spurs is one of those stadiums where they can't actually do the 105 by 68, and they're obviously going to do that in a new stadium, but Wembley very much is that.
Right.
So that might be why they've struggled at Wembley, and it might also be why they've struggled and not performed to the very highest level at places like Anfield and Old Trafford.
Are you looking to suggest that they might not endure or enjoy the second greatest stadium migration in a couple of years' time?
They might not.
With a bigger pitch.
What I'm trying to do, Pete, is confuse the listeners with science. So they get so caught up in, like I have, time sort of up in knots, so they won't bother getting in touch with me.
Right, OK.
That's very good.
Spurs are in the next round, as are Arsenal, as are one of the Manchester sides. Obviously, Chelsea versus Manchester United hasn't kicked off by the time that we've been recording, but Man City are through. The Citizens, they look good. They always looked in control. Mm. But despite this, Karanga was surprisingly positive afterwards, saying his players played well, and even gave some praise to the crowd.
Yeah, I didn't trust it.
Yeah, I didn't as well.
So after the ding-dong he had with them earlier in the season, maybe.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe it was sarcastic. He's a very grumpy man. Maybe he was so sarcastic no one could tell.
Special mention for Bet of the Week, Bet 365 Bet of the Week man, Sam Cooper, whose bet essentially lasted under 2 minutes.
He lasted a couple of minutes.
It's a record. Because Middlesbrough, I know they've scored a few more goals in the FA Cup, but generally, broadly speaking,
don't concede that much.
When they concede a goal, that's it.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. It's over.
Sam Cooper actually emailed in. He says, he entitled A Disgraced Sam Cooper says, apologies about my bet of the week. I didn't realise I hated charity. So that's his apology.
I appreciate that, because that's the equivalent of a player walking before they've seen the red.
Yeah.
And Sam Cooper, we do appreciate that. Now get out.
Did that email come in at the 3 minutes after kickoff? It comes as a shock to us all, Sam. Yeah, this hot seat is a very hot seat to be.
Slowly walking toward his laptop.
It's like the throne in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Full of like spiky knives and spiky swords.
Stabby knives.
Stabby knives. I'm glad you didn't write it.
And spiky swords.
Steve Gibson, Borough's owner, is reportedly weighing up his options. Karanka's side, they've won four league matches all season. They've scored 19 in 27 league matches. Mm. Admittedly, only four sides have conceded less than them, but when all said and done, they're now 3 points off safety. I know we've been talking about the cup here, but the FA Cup sideshow, as some teams may see it as, is now gone. And the hard facts are not pretty reading for Middlesbrough. No.
They've got to turn it around. They've got to start scoring goals. And there's only, 10 games left? They have to change fundamentally so much of what they're doing, and I just don't think they've got time to do it now.
They could do with an A or a the difference, I think.
Yeah. Well, he didn't play. He didn't pick Downing or Bamford. And when asked about this, Karanka said he'll only pick players who want to fight for the team. And you think, those two are attacking threats.
Bamford, I mean, yeah, possibly. I mean, Bamford is not an attacking threat in the Premier League. Has he ever scored a Premier League goal?
Why, has he been given a proper chance?
Yes! At like 3 clubs. I've got no wish to denigrate the guy, but you're making me do it.
Yeah. Was he too middle class here, is he?
The overall point, I'm very middle class these days. The overall point is that Middlesbrough, it's fine for Middlesbrough to not concede goals, but the sad reality is they're already in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
It's not an asset necessarily in and of itself to not concede goals when you're already in trouble. You need to score goals to get out of it.
Yeah, you need to start mid-table before you start doing that.
Fans that have never ever chanted, you know, we only lose 1-0, do they?
No.
And so that's
if you're Burnley and you're however many points off, or Bournemouth, and you've got a cushion and you never concede, you'd be pretty confident. You go, we don't score that many, but we don't really concede, so we should be okay. Middlesbrough are bang in trouble and they have to try and start scoring goals. goals. And I agree with what Jim said, and I just want to expand on it slightly by saying it's not that they don't score goals. They don't even set up to score goals. Yeah. They don't go out to score goals. And it's very, very fanciful, I think, to imagine them starting to be able to learn how to do that now with however many, you know, a handful of games left in the season.
They need Stewie Downing in there. And maybe Patty Bamford, for my money.
I would like to distance myself from that.
But Man City looked very good, though. Much more like it from Pep's side. And you would surely expect that next season, that's the kind of performance we'll see more week in, week out for Manchester City.
They started off routine, like that, wasn't it? They started off like that in the season. I mean, they just dropped off after about 10 or 11 games, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, again, like Guardiola's, you know, he's been in leagues where there are fewer teams competing for that top spot. So it's going to take him a while to adjust to it, which maybe we didn't anticipate so much when he first arrived here, but
Conte long, did it, Jim?
No, quite, absolutely. But you know, it's because Jose Mourinho gave him a little break from the Champions League, isn't it?
That's the trick, isn't it? Take over from a side that have had the season before off.
Well, they're
fresh.
Man City still might win the Champions League.
Yeah,
I personally don't think they will, but it's not out of the question.
No, I mean, you know, you look at the huge results Bayern and Barcelona had last week, and you sort of, you know, forget already about that massive win they had over Monaco. Lovely. That's brilliantly poised.
Yeah.
What I struggled to
Jim,
say
we're going
to
go for a break for your sake.
All right, thanks.
Back in a second,
everybody. Excited.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with that man, gent and scholar, Pete Donaldson.
I'm glad you said man. That man, that thing.
The listeners sometimes need a reminder.
Yeah, that collection of atoms.
What have you got for us this time, Pete?
You've got them ready.
Tom, I have got them ready for once. Tom says, the highlight of the weekend, definitely for me, was Mike Dean brightening up the game at the Riverside after Borough conceded after 3 minutes. Even better was noticing his van on the way out parked in the players' enclosure. I can't help but feel this was Clattenburg until he decided to leave for Saudi Arabia. Keep up the good work. Tom, and he's given us a picture of
Mike Dean's got a van.
Mike Dean's got a van.
A tour bus.
We know it's a van because it's his van. Because look at that registration plate.
The registration.
Don't read it out. It ends with ref.
Yeah. Well, you just read half of it out.
No, that's fine.
That's all right.
That's fine.
But what I'm saying is that, I mean, the referee's car used to be prime car park keying material, and he's just that's a come and have you go. If you think you're hard enough, that is.
Are we sure that's his car? Couldn't that just be the reg?
It's ref, and it starts with that.
Yeah, I'm having that.
And
you're having
like,
that?
Dino's probably the referee. Or at least.
Dino's that big time. He's thinking, oh, you want to keep the car or anything? I'm going to give you a massive target.
What's in the van, Mike?
That's where he keeps all his spray.
He keeps all his decisions.
In my mind, he's got like a string bag for the footballs and some cones and stuff. But he doesn't need those. He's a Premier League referee.
What's he building in there?
Never forget your roots.
That's right. It's in your mind, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not his fault. Maybe he does Uber on the days off.
Yeah, maybe he does.
That's a good one, that one. That's an Uber X.
Uber Pool.
Uber Pool. well, we've had a couple of emails about something you're probably going to go on to with King Kazoo.
Yes.
I won't mention that now. But one thing that a lot of people got involved with is those amazing scenes from the American Tundra. The Major League Soccer match involving Minnesota United Football Club.
It was their debut and they got battered, didn't
they? Well, they played against Atlanta United, a slightly warmer climb, you'd imagine, but in typical Minnesota fashion, a spell of nice weather was changed a few days ago by a massive cold front. Heavy snow began falling an hour before the match. The temperature at kickoff was -7 Celsius, and snow continued right throughout the match. Play was stopped to allow the snowblower wielding grounds crew to clear the lines off the field, which is incredible. I mean, we looked at that. And I thought, well, we play football in really, really cold temperatures and with snow on the pitch. We certainly did in the 70s with the orange ball and stuff like that. Yeah. Nowadays... Well,
these days, it's more to do with the fact that the surrounding area of the stadium is dangerous, not the pitch itself, because they're so modern. But Minnesota's got a track record on that. There was a game, Minnesota Vikings, last NFL season, maybe the season before... where it was something preposterous, like -30, and there were still fans in the stadium, and they and they still played.
I mean, to be fair, they're built for that, though, aren't they? I mean, they're kind
-30.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What did Prince say about Minnesota? He said that's where his gaff was, wasn't it, Prince? Yeah. He said that the cold weather keeps the bad guys out.
Oh, okay.
This is a lovely little quote about your hometown.
I would like to see a Football Ramble YouTube video of you sitting in the same place for an hour and a half in -30.
Yeah. I'd wear appropriate clothing.
I'd bring you a hot dog once a half.
All right, that's a good right,
shake on that now.
Good.
Right, far away, Peter.
All right, well, I'm just recovering from the last email. Rudy boy. Finally, for now, Scott Collins says, I'm from Hartlepool like Pete, however, I live in Seton Carew now. Posh here. It's not posh. Anyway, I caught some of the Juventus AC Milan match on Friday. Oh, in Italy, they have mascots of the players, 10-year-olds dressed in replica kits, which is amazing. They also have them for the officials as well. And the kid who replicated the ref looked like the Milky Bar kid, minus the cowboy hat and the waistcoat, obviously. I remember kids being at school, being mascots at Hartlepool United. They were Monday heroes in the schoolyard, which I don't remember from my time in Hartlepool.
Is this you emailing?
No, it's a man called Scott Collin, yeah.
Pete, by the way, speaking of that, where does this guy live now?
Seton Carew.
Is that any good?
It's nicer.
The reason I bring it up is because you mentioned that nightclub Tall Trees in Yarm.
In Yarm, yeah.
Yeah, that burnt down, apparently.
Oh, did it?
It's completely burned to the ground.
The tallest trees will attract the lightning.
No one was hurt. There was no foul play involved, but it burnt down. So it's no longer an option for you on a night out trying to find some Ramble listeners to hang out with.
It was a bit of a schlep anyway, to be honest. Okay.
A sympathetic point of view.
Indeed, yes. Okay.
Is that nicer than Yarm, Seton Carew? Is that what it's called?
Yarm's definitely better than Seton Carew.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So carry on, gentlemen.
We done?
With the show. We're done.
Don't rush you. You're done.
I've got a couple more. Do you want me to put a couple more in? No.
Let's have one more.
Yeah, all right. There we go. This is what you did. Now we're here for hearing from John from Tianjin. All right?
Oh, good.
All right.
How's Ramble? Made it in?
I started listening because there was a man from Seton Carew and Marcus was rushing me. I started listening to your show last year on the advice of my cousin. Don't blame your cousin.
That's how this all started.
Own up to your own mistake.
I've been English in Tianjin. I've been teaching English in Tianjin, and presumably English as well, China, for the past couple of years. And although you probably think this is ironic, the Ramble helps me keep sane amidst the madness. I thought I'd share this little anecdote about my time here. Last year, a lot of students asked me which football team I support. I support Burnley, but I got tired of constantly explaining who Burnley are, and nobody understood. For some reason, I eventually settled on saying I supported Arsenal, because I kind of sort of like Arsene Wenger a little bit. This year, because Burnley are in the Premier League, I haven't had the need to constantly explain who they are, so I actually tell the truth now if people ask which team I support. I'd almost forgotten and I'd said that I supported Arsenal until a boy in my class gave me an Arsenal-themed tea mug on Teacher's Day.
Oh, that's nice.
I've got a limited amount of luggage space to bring stuff back to the UK, so it probably won't make the cut.
So I'll never come home.
Can you come over here and take some stuff back for me? That's a personal email that's made it into the right
thing. I used to support Burnley, but it was too hard, so I now support Arsenal. Pathetic.
I like that you've picked out an email with an unhappy ending.
Yeah. Very new, Pete.
A sad child.
Yeah. It's good for your personal brand, that. Because you're pessimistic personal brand.
Do you want a final quick one? Do you want a bit of a right to reply from one of the listeners from something you said last week, Lukey Moore?
No.
This is why I rush him.
Yeah. Jim Lawrence says, just a quick thought on the Tyrone Mings suspension. He may not have deliberately stamped on Zlatan, but he did deliberately choose to attempt to hurdle two players, Rooney and Zlatan, lying on the floor in front of him. He's going to hit one of them, I guess. That constituted dangerous and reckless play, as there was a risk he would land on one of them. He could have chosen to go around them. Trying to get the ball is not an excuse. Deliberate or not, he did stand on his head. It's like trying to overtake a cyclist through a narrow gap and knocking him off. He didn't intend to knock him off his bike, but he's still lying in a tangled heap on the side of the road. That's an image. I don't agree with it either, Luke.
I don't accept the analogy. And I also think, if that's the case, the disconnect there for me then is the fact that he was charged with violent conduct. I mean, to use his cyclist analogy, you don't get... Fine, it's a tragedy what happened to the cyclist. It might be partly your fault, whatever, but you don't get charged for murder for that. Mm. You get a different charge.
It would be reckless play, wouldn't it, or something?
The underpinning to my point about Tyrone Mings was that he was charged with violent conduct, which was wrong, which enabled them to get the 5-game ban out of the bag. So that's my point still stands. Don't email back in. Let's be honest, no one wants to hear about this over and over again. The point is made.
I just think it's nice to chuck them in every now and again.
It is.
We've talked enough about Mings the Merciless. Yeah.
All right. I've got a few more bonus to bit with listeners later in the highlights of the week.
Right. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Before then, we must talk about the Premier League and a great win for Hull City.
Yeah.
It was a big win for Silva, who is doing a good job, gentlemen.
Yeah. Turns out.
All Millie said last week or earlier. Yeah, it was last week.
Jim said it as well. You're not on your own.
Is that for all the praise he was getting and for all the, I mean, I appreciate their home record is good. They were still right bang in relegation trouble. Yeah, they hadn't made the move out of the relegation zone as Swansea had at that point. Mm-hmm. I think Marco Silva has proved himself to be an astute and very, very talented coach. However, I still feel like it may not be enough. That was my point.
True, but it was a big win. And
Big win for them.
That tactical switch of bringing the assay on when he got a nice double was lovely. What a 1-2 for the goal. Normally 1-2s are quite jinky affairs on the edge of the box. That was a very long 1-2, if you know what I mean.
You don't see those as often, do you?
Yeah, it was absolutely glorious. And he took the second goal very well, too.
Llorente got a dead leg and Fabianski got winded in that game. All very playground.
Too old school. Yeah,
it is a bit playground rules, isn't it? According to the BBC, no team has ever stayed up after conceding over 60 goals at this stage of a league campaign. Swansea have conceded 61.
Surely after Leicester last season, go out the window.
So, Peter.
I hate stats.
Stats are here to stay, mate. Deal with it.
I think... I mean, that doesn't really mean anything in terms of this season, though. They're, to me, Swansea don't know they're going to be relegated.
No, that is a bad loss for them. I mean, but I'd still agree with you. But Hull have played an extra game than some of the teams down there. But it's a big statement. I mean, 3 points separate 18th and 15th now.
Yeah.
So it was vital for Hull that they won that game, because if they lost, then that gap obviously would have been far greater.
Also, with a game like that, you know, it's all right taking points off a team you're not really competing with, but it's as much about reeling another team back in as it is as pushing yourself up, because someone's got to take your place down there, basically, haven't they?
Can I
just go back to the Llorente dead leg thing? Because my highlight of the whole weekend was Leroy Fer just immediately knocking it long for him to chase. It's just out of order.
That's right, yeah.
Look, do your doggies or get off.
You've either recovered or you haven't.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I quite enjoyed Mawson.
Yeah, Alfie Mawson.
His header. As soon as it left his head, he was running back.
It was
like he does that all the time.
But he didn't speed the game up in any way, because he didn't go and get the ball. Yeah. The ball still has to go back to the centre circle.
It was brilliant. There was such goodwill behind it, but it was just poorly executed.
I think he looks like a good player, Wilson. Yeah. He's pretty no-nonsense. Pops up with the odd goal.
He's not too shabby. It was a huge win as well for Bournemouth and Eddie Howe.
What a game that was.
That was a brilliant game.
Swansea got Bournemouth next as well. That'd be interesting.
Bournemouth's first win in 10 matches, and they really wanted it, Bournemouth. I know that sounds a pretty obvious thing to say, but as the game went on, it sort of seemed, if you will, that it was always Bournemouth's to win. It was just a question of whether they could get over the line. I know West Ham led early on, but just as it developed, the fact they missed two penalties as well.
Two of the worst penalties of the season.
Absolutely
the
abysmal. It was extraordinary, but Josh King got himself a hat-trick as well.
He did, despite missing that first penalty. The second penalty was so bad that Darren Randolph held it.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you see
that?
Yeah,
I know. As far as I'm concerned, if a goalkeeper can keep hold of your penalty, it is. You should never take one again.
And it's not a dink.
No, quite. Yeah, but that's terrible as well. But
yeah, of course. Well, a dink penalty.
It's hard to think of what's worse at those two penalties, because clearly the cardinal sin is not hitting the target.
Yeah,
but the goalkeeper being able to catch your penalty is fairly poor stuff.
Yeah, because I know what you mean. Because
they so rarely catch anything nowadays. Yeah, it's always a parry, isn't it?
Old school.
Yeah, they do.
You sound like my dad.
Goalkeepers don't catch the ball anymore.
I saw a player from Korea on the field. It's madness.
These Continentals coming over here, not catching the ball.
But I know what you mean by the penalty, because you've got to hit the target, because if you don't hit the target, then you're not going to go in. However, a penalty that, say, smashed against the crossbar, it seems like a better effort than one is tamely hit to the keeper who holds it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Bournemouth, you're right what you said, that it was vital for their momentum to turn this around. They clearly targeted this game. They knew that they could beat West Ham on their own patch, on Bournemouth's own patch. I thought King may have been offside for a second guy. I only saw it once, but it looked pretty close to me.
Yeah, was it? Yeah,
I'd be happy to defer to someone who saw it more than once, but to me it looked very, very marginal.
I watched the highlights of that game and I thought, well, we've had a few goals, but still not as many as like the Barcelona match or the FA Cup match.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Instantly turn it off.
Do you know Wilshere didn't start that game, did he? No. He's a funny situation. He's 25 now, and he's out of contract with Arsenal in the summer, and now he's not starting for games Bournemouth. For Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems...
Was he
coming
back? Looked good, though, so,
he set up the winner, didn't he? Or he had I don't know if he set it up directly, but he had a big part.
But he looked good at the start of his Bournemouth career, when he came on.
There was an interesting interview.
He wasn't coming back from injury. I just say that because it's Wilshere.
No, he's not had injuries. He's just not been... He just wasn't picked.
He'll get a deal somewhere. That's the annoying thing.
He will.
He'll go Everton or something.
That's not a point I'm making.
West Ham, maybe.
Yeah, but he's a good player.
The point I'm making is that this is a guy who had the world at his feet, and who everyone, that famous game in the Champions League against Barcelona, where he admittedly played really well. It just seems like a weird situation for him to be in.
Yeah.
And I think
he should be the linchpin of that side.
At 25, not really knowing where he's going to be in the summer is a very, very strange situation.
It'd be interesting to see what happens with Wenger as well, not to bang on about Arsenal too much, but if he goes in the summer, will a new man want to take a chance on Wilshere, or will Wilshere want to go?
I don't think Wilshere will play for Arsenal again.
I am inclined to agree, but I think part of it will depend on who comes in. But anyway, shut up, Arsenal.
Yeah, back to Bournemouth, you know, it was a vital win, as I say. They'd gone on a big streak of not doing very well at all. And the fact that Hull moved up to 27 points, Bournemouth moving up to 30 was important because they would have been just 3 points off the relegation zone. You know, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think a few weeks ago I said, yeah, Bournemouth are absolutely fine. You think, oh, hang on. I mean, 6 points is obviously quite big now, so that was how vital that win is. But it's that stage of the season where you start looking, going, oh, blimey, they're not that far away.
But you've got to remember, you say 6 points like that's only two wins, which it is, but in the context of the relegation fight, we crunched a few numbers last week saying if Hull won those winnable home games they had, of which Swansea was one, I think they would end up with 33 points or something, which is probably not going to be enough to stay in the Premier League. Yeah. If you say, oh, a team is only 6 points off relegation, well, the team's third bottom, I haven't got the table in front of me, but it's probably racking up less than a point a game.
Yeah,
so it's going to take them 7 games to get there.
Yeah.
And that's assuming that Bournemouth don't win any more points in that period at all. So it is a bigger gap than it perhaps looks like.
It is. Liverpool beat Burnley 2-1. Burnley led 1-0, but
it's a massive win for Liverpool.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that the character of the side, I know they were hanging on a little bit at the end, but how many times have we seen Liverpool draw or even lose these games? We know they're good against the big sides, but against a very stubborn Burnley team, to get that win,
they went a goal down as well. Yeah. This is a nightmare. I said that before the game, and I maintain it now. That's a nightmare game for Liverpool. The current Liverpool team we're watching, that's a nightmare game for them.
It is.
And they did well to come out the other side of that. They really did.
Back-to-back win for them. Back-to-back wins, rather, for them as well, which is really important.
For the first time this year.
A couple of wins, you know, they're in fourth spot. They're 5 points ahead of Arsenal, who are in fifth. Arsenal do have 2 games in hand.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the way Arsenal were playing, you'd rather have the 5 points.
Oh, for sure. I think you'd always rather have the points on the board. I can't think of a situation where you wouldn't rather have the points.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Liverpool, they're 1 point behind Spurs and Man City. You do have a game in hand on Liverpool. But actually, you know, it's funny, a couple of wins, and suddenly things can change.
Go right up there.
And
momentum's such a huge thing, especially at this point of the season. But going to Burnley, though, I mean, they fought hard. It wasn't like they just dug in and lay down after Liverpool went 2-1 up. But you just got to look at them and think, like, do they believe they can win away? Because this is clearly becoming an albatross for them now. Like, after you know, it's the narrative around every single game before it and after it, and you wonder if that's just in the players' heads.
Well, I would say I know what you mean, Jim, but this game was different because they did go ahead, and then when they went 2-1 down, they had a couple of moments, and Liverpool were hanging on.
Was it Liverpool's equaliser? It was very fortunate. I mean, it bounced off a player.
Chan with a nice one, though.
Well, Chan's an interesting player because, to me, he doesn't look like a player who can carry a midfield on his own.
No.
But he's
handy.
But he played very well against Burnley. I thought
he's had a bit of criticism, I think, from Liverpool fans, hasn't he? So it's nice for him to get the win.
He's been played around a bit, though, in terms of positions. So sometimes it can be quite hard if you're then asked to do certain different jobs.
Coutinho looks like he's struggling a bit for form as well at the moment. He had a really, really good first half of the season. Second half of the season, he looks like he's struggling a bit.
Yeah, there we are. We're going to talk about the Championship and a few more other things after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Sit back down. Sit back down. We're talking about the Championship, but before we do, don't forget the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out this Friday. As we said before, our better of the week,
Sam Cooper.
He didn't last very long at all,
no.
Poor old Sam.
He knows what he's done.
Yeah.
He knows what he's done.
Get out of the bet seat.
All I'm saying is they're very keen to get the email in the inbox for Bet of the Week. Mm. And you never hear from him again. But to be fair to Sam, he fronted up this time, so let's see who turns up this week.
He left with his honour, at least.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Well, sort of.
Uh-huh. Fulham left with their honour at Newcastle.
Yeah. And with your honour, Pete.
Hey?
Yeah.
You having that one, Donaldson?
A lot of spittle over the back of the chair.
They defiled you.
spent most of the first half trying to figure out what the percentage of play was.
Peter.
Goodness me.
Stats. Peter, we can both agree that my prediction before the game was wrong, wasn't it?
What do you mean? What's this about?
It was wrong because I said Fulham will pass Newcastle to death and win 2-1.
That was on a private 3-1. WhatsApp group.
Which is,
and if we add some of the other things you said on that private WhatsApp group,
you'd get a
lot more trouble, sunshine.
And people would say, where can I vote for you?
Yes, very much down a political sphere.
Marcus, you are not telling it like it is. I don't know how many times we have to tell you. It's not what everyone
Jim,
thinks,
I am
but he's
very
afraid
happy
to, say.
To publish my records, my friend. I feel that you may not be in the same boat.
Your tax return.
Yeah, the first league defeat in 10 for Newcastle. Lovely, I went for Fulham.
Fulham were bloody brilliant.
Are fantastic at the moment. I'm not even going to pretend
anymore.
They passed
Newcastle.
Gary Deitch and Donaldson.
There we go. All it takes is a little bit of Donaldson Speller rivalry, and out it comes. I love it. It's better for the podcast, all right?
Yeah.
We'll still be top come the end of the season.
The wand of Tom Kearney was being waved about the Sports Direct Arena.
Well, at the time, that was kind of, you'd say, probably against the run of play, but they certainly, after that, they just absolutely murdered us.
It was like a 25-yarder in the top bit.
It was,
against the run of play.
It was something against the run of play, Marcus. It was incredible.
That's 25 yards.
Don't worry, Marcus. He'll be in Newcastle next season. We're in the Premier League.
Really?
All right.
I think he is a
target.
That's the problem, though, for a player like Kearney and Fulham. Really, the way Fulham plays, they are superb. They really are. Possession wise, they had over 70% possession.
Well,
against
I saw the reverse of that fixture at Fulham at Crimmer Cottage, and Newcastle played terribly. Newcastle played even worse in this fixture, but they didn't need to play that bad. They were irresistible.
Kind of
at time.
Got them well drilled.
I'm not someone who's seen an awful lot of Newcastle this season, but I saw a decent proportion of that game. I just thought, I don't know what the fuss is about with Newcastle. How is this?
That's how good Fulham are.
What I would say is that Anita had an off day at the same time as a couple of other midfield players as well. And when everyone's having an off day, when Shelby's just janking balls out for corners and throws and stuff like that, I just think, you're having an off day, aren't you?
I say on this show, Anthony Clockhart is the best player in the Championship, and he was brilliant again at the weekend. Yeah. Mm. And you all come back to me with John Joe Shelby, and he has stunk the place out of the
weekend. I'm saying Tom Kearney now.
Oh, really? You changed your mind?
Finally!
I agree with Luke. Knockout is
brilliant, don't get me wrong. And you're probably right saying he's the best player in the league. Kearney's finally got a call up for Scotland. How he's been overlooked. I understand he's been the Championship and Fulham's, plight has been slightly different. And this is fairly recent that Jukanovic has got them play. But the trouble is for a side like Fulham, you see, against Leeds, admittedly Leeds went ahead 1-0. They didn't have their best forward on the show because I was down at the Cottage for that game. But Fulham were just... Gary Monk said, to be honest, it was a point against the really good side, and that's a side who have been in the playoffs. They're higher than Fulham. They have been higher than Fulham all season, and you know, Benitez said, you know, Fulham were very good, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of chat there. But the thing is for Fulham, the trouble is, if Fulham did go up, they'd never be able to play like that in the Premier League.
No.
They'd have to sign players, they'd have to go robust. And to be honest, it just wouldn't be as enjoyable.
But that's nothing new, is it? I mean, when Leicester went up, they went up playing a brilliant attacking football. And the same was true of Bournemouth and Watford in the year that they went up. Like, it's just part of it, isn't it?
No, but I think, I know what you mean, but with the attacking football, you still have a certain type of players. I think with Fulham, the way they pass it around, you'd have to have like a really big rethink on how to structure. And someone like Tom Kearney, who's a lovely number 10 in the Championship, you go up to the Premier League, you know,
maybe don't have the space.
Well, you'd need two really good, solid defensive midfielders.
You don't know how good these players are until they get a chance. But there's a lot of examples of players coming up for the leagues these days. A lot of those Bournemouth players.
Well, Bournemouth themselves are a great example.
Andre Gray's played at that level. Yeah, okay. He's played a lot of different levels. You know, Jamie Vardy famously.
Playing like that is work rate, isn't it, Luke, really? I mean, if you're just passing triangles, you need to be showing for other players. And the problem with Newcastle had that weekend is that players were panicking and jacking balls out that they wouldn't usually do, simply because they wouldn't see the ball for another 5 minutes if they lost the ball. Yeah. So they were just worried about losing the ball effectively.
It's worth remembering Tom Davis played number 10 for Everton this weekend. How old is he?
Well, Kearney, I think, honestly, Kearney's a superb player. He really, really is. And Sessegnon as well. I mean, he won't be there very much.
16 years old. It's hard to remember many 16-year-olds that have had that kind of impact. I mean, obviously you go back to Wayne Rooney, but like very few players at that tender age when you're basically still a sperm, like, just playing that well.
Compared to the old man in this studio, anyway.
Oh, dear. Brighton beat Derby 3-0. Derby sacked McLaren again.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, the club statement was quite damning, saying that this was due to persistent decline in results, team unity and morale. I mean, they've been pretty comprehensive.
I think they're living the dream world. They've had six managers in 4 years. When McLaren took over, I think they were 19th.
Yeah.
Wasn't his remit, their stated remit for him to just, you know, keep them safe in the Championship this season?
Well, which he's clearly done. If it was, then it's nonsense, because they went on a good run. They flirted with the idea of the playoffs. They're not going to make that now. But when he took over the club, I mean, I don't watch Derby every week, and I'm sure there will be Derby fans out there who maybe agree with it. Decision, I don't know. But to me, they're so trigger happy at that club at the moment.
They want promotion almost too much.
There's talk of Gary Rowett talking to them now, which would be a great move for them. But it's not been a great move if he lasts 9 months. Yeah. Because they're not top of the league in September, you know. Mm.
Someone suggested Pards on Twitter earlier.
Well, they're in advanced talk with Gary Rowett, so I think that's who they're
going to go for. Should we go to League Two?
Yeah.
Let's go to League Two, because the Pompey boys won 4-0 on the road, cementing their place in third, an automatic promotion spot. 10 games to go and a 4-point cushion, Luke. They're already in League One, aren't they?
They've only got a 4-point cushion because I think Luton have got... Although I just said I'd rather have the points on the board, which I would. Luton have got a game in hand, so I think if Luton win their game in hand, it'd only be 2 points.
Reversing up the Pompey Highway.
But
take the slip rod off and go either way.
It's a two-way highway. I just thought it was one way.
Well, you never know. Sometimes the portal remains open.
They've mounted the central reservation.
We might be coming to form at the right time, I think. Possibly. But a 4-0 win away from home is obviously a big result in anyone's language.
There's a flicker of hope in those eyes. We haven't seen
I'm going to go
in
hubris. Look how tempered he is.
They're playing tomorrow night, so trust me, it won't last long.
if you think he sounds boiled by that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the Scottish Premiership.
Well, before we go there, can we mention that Shaul Amiobi's got for Notts County against Hartlepool?
We can.
Brick and Hartlepool in Arts.
Yeah.
That was in the highlights of the week.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
Right. Forget that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Forget what just happened. Yeah. We'll do the Men in Black beeper thing.
And then we'll move on to the Scottish Premiership, where Luke's mate Clint Hill denied Celtic an 18th straight win in the Old Firm Derby.
Yeah, big news. I mean, the real news here is I text Clint Hill and he actually replied.
Oh, wow.
Who dis new phone? Who are dis new phone?
Yeah. I was like, no, it's Luke Moore. Not the football.
Are you sure? Because if you got him on WhatsApp, he would have seen your face.
No, he did. I did have him on WhatsApp. It's fine. I said to him, what are you doing that far up the pitch? He said, I've always had the poacher's instinct.
Is that right? And he nearly gave away a penalty after that, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And you instantly dick-picked him.
It's happening.
You promised me it's happening.
Is that Luke Moore? Oh, it is Luke Moore, yeah.
My WhatsApp profile picks a dick pic anyway, so... I thought Rangers, I mean, it was a boring game as far as Rangers knew they couldn't match Celtics. They just went to spoil. And they did a good job of that, I have to say.
Well, remember last time they went there, was it 5-1?
Yeah, it was a great effort for them to get a 1-1 draw at Celtics. What was Celtics' league record going to that game? It was 126 drawn 1, wasn't it? Yeah.
Everyone was expecting a big, big score.
Well, I said it on Thursday.
There was, I think, was it you, Marcus, who was saying that you thought Celtic were probably going to try and go over the record and really stick the boot in? But
it didn't pan out that way.
It was actually me, but Marcus can have
right.
it.
Yeah, cheers. It was a wrong one from Luke, so I'll take the blame.
Did you see the ball girl?
No.
The ball girl, as Clint Hill scored the goal, she had some choice words for him.
Oh, is that right?
Which were the two worst ones.
Okay.
in which order?
In the usual order.
Oh, dear. Yeah, Rogers wasn't happy because he said to Clint Hill, he was asking about the penalty, and Clint Hill said, yeah, I got away with that one. Rogers was fuming in the press conference.
Oh, I love that.
But Rogers, and Pard was there, wasn't he? So him and Rogers would be out on the lash.
Was Pard there?
Pard was there as a guest of Brendan Rogers. Oh, which is presumably right. Putting all that Rangers talk to bed.
Superb. Do you see? How did you pronounce the new Rangers manager's name? Pedro
Cascina.
We'll go with that. Forgive me if that's wrong. He's new man in charge of Rangers. Of course, he's come in immediately said, "Well, Rangers are the biggest club in Scotland."
Yeah.
I mean, just
that's part of it, though, isn't it?
So basically, a cue card he's been given and reads off of that.
His agent is Pedro Mendes. Obviously, played for Rangers. Right. Did you see Pedro Mendes in the crowd? He looks $1 million.
Does he?
He looks like. A very, very handsome restaurateur. That's what he looks like.
I like that.
You went into a top-end restaurant.
I tell you what,
to see him there.
If football had the same rules as hockey, you know, you bring someone on for a penalty corner or something like that. Yeah. Mendes with that peg of
that
his.
Wand, yeah,
yeah.
He also, the good thing about Mendes is he had long hair for a good part of his life. He's not afraid to make a decision. He's had it cut short now. Yeah. He's not going to be sticking to that Jerry Francis style when he's 60.
No. He'll never look like Jerry Francis.
Well. That'll be a great comfort to him, I'm sure. But all I'm saying is he's had his hair cut, he looks even better.
There you are. There we are.
That's something you repeat into a mirror, isn't it? I'll never look like Jerry Francis. I'll never look like Jerry Francis.
Something you don't have the luxury of.
I've only got the airline. I just don't have the girth, let's say.
No.
Oh, man.
No, that's not true. No.
Well, before the highlights of the week, let's go to Japan, because everybody's favourite...
Sorry, see you later, lads.
And off he goes. Back to the scene of the crimes. Everyone's favourite 50-year-old player, Kazuyoshi Miura, a.k.a. Kazu scored for Yokohama, thus taking Sir Stanley Matthews' record. Matthews set the record in 1965 at the age of 50 years and 5 days, and Kazu is 50 years and 14 days. We should say it was the only goal of the game.
Yeah. Nice.
It wasn't the sixth in a 6-0 win.
What tier is it, Pete? It's a second division.
So it's not bad.
Presumably Stanley Matthews was in the top flight, was it?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It must have been.
Oh, yeah, God, are we going to talk coefficients now? oh, not again.
But I take the point.
What I'm saying is a 50-year-old man scoring a goal is not enough for me. I need to know the standard.
Bugger off.
What if he goes on to score another goal like next year? Would that help?
Then he'll beat the record, Pete.
No, okay. He'll set a new record. But I think, you know, footballers these days... They are much more athletic than they were back in the 60s. You know, it's a remarkable. I mean, seeing the goal, you know, you see his movement and he's the first one to pounce on the rebound. And I'm thinking, that's a 50-year-old man. Like, he's all there and halfway back again.
But the dance celebration as well and the speed at which he runs off. I mean, I don't think I'll be able to move that fast when I'm 50. I can barely move that fast now.
My eyes can't move that fast now. Watching them feet.
He's playing his 32nd season.
That's fantastic.
It is extraordinary.
He's been a footballer for longer than he's not been a footballer. Yeah.
So basically he started in about 84.
It's just
85, something like that.
And played all around the world.
The changes he's seen. He
started in Brazil, didn't he? Which is strange.
Did he start in Brazil?
I think so, yeah. That was his first professional club.
Peter's got some emails.
Well, Chris from Australia just sent a lot of pictures. He was at the match himself.
Oh, good.
And he had a lovely time with his wife. He does start with a dig, though. He says, since I'm a teetotaler and I'm travelling with my wife, I'm quite certain it's quite a different jaunt to Pete's occasional Far East visits.
It's not a dig, it's a factual point.
Well,
I applaud it.
Fundamentally rude.
Simply a reasonable observation.
You are, mate.
it's not
of a man.
Oh, it's nice to know that one of the Ramble listeners were there.
Yeah.
And he's married.
Antetokounmpo. Well done. Round of applause for Chris.
Excellent.
But apparently, he spent most of the match just pointing at King Kazoo going, he's 50!
Yeah. And he got the goal.
Yeah.
The only goal. Well worth the trip, I'm sure. Let's have some highlights of the weekend then, Luke.
Yeah. David Cowlishaw's been in touch to say Tony Pulis said his West Brom side haven't lost intensity after reaching 40 Premier League points. But his record at Stoke Palace and West Brom after reaching 40 points reads as follows. Played 36, won 5, drawn 15, lost 16. See you in August, Tony. Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Carl Johnson, my heart of the week was seeing Aaron Ramsey's smug grin, thinking his goal against Lincoln was total redemption for a 10-2 nobbing by Bayern. Which I can sort of get on board with.
The use of the word nobbing was very good there.
Yeah, welcome. Worth a mention. Dave Shaw, I went to see my local team Ards FC play Ballina Mallard United in the Northern Irish Premiership on Friday night. A substitute was announced over the public address system and a young player called Jordan Hughes was being brought on for the home team. This prompted a strange outburst from a man sat behind me. All these young players, they're called Jordan and Josh. You don't get any Ronnies anymore. Which begs the question, are there enough Ronnies in football? Hashtag bring back Ronnies.
No,
I had to think about this. And the only player I could think of, Ronaldo, people call him Ronnie, but that doesn't really count. Mm. There was a player called Ronnie Bull who played fairly recently for Millwall and Crawley. And the only other Ronnie apart from that recently I can think of is Ronnie Johnson.
Ronnie Rosenthal.
Yeah. That's even further old, back.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, because you can go back to like Ronnie Moran and Ronnie Whelan.
Ronnie Rashford.
Yeah, Ronnie Rashford. Yeah.
Ronnie Koeman.
Yeah.
Ronnie Koeman.
Ronnie Koeman, yeah.
Every Ronald's a potential Ronnie.
Just if you can think of a Ronnie playing football at the moment, get in touch. Yeah. But it's got to be at a certain level. Don't waste our time.
Pete Ronaldson.
Pete Ronaldson. There we go. What else
not
we got
a footballer
here?
And not his name.
Tom Nixie, going back to what you were talking about.
Yeah, mix it up with Mixie.
Pete, your beau. Nixie. Is
Nixie. I like the tubes.
He says, my highlight is Shola Amiobi OBE missing a pen for Notts County with some questionable commentary. Notts County are currently 19th in League 2, so Shola's still doing his thing down there.
In black and white as well.
I've got one here from Ali Nee, who says, my highlight is Derby sacking another manager, presumably for once again not playing, in quotes, in the Derby way. For many years of watching Derby, I'm pretty sure the Derby way is fleeting moments of excellence, a huge rise in expectation, a dip in form at the Grand Canyon, and a plummet down the league table in discussion of a transition year and how next season it'll be different. So I personally think Steve McLaren had it down to a T, and I look forward to his third stint in 6 months' time.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll finish off with this one from Jonathan McCormack. Now, Jonathan, I've got a bones pit with you. You could have left this here, but you didn't. You got in touch, and so now I'm going to give you some back. He says, my heart of the week is almost being trod on by Luke Moore on his way to the food market in Hammersmith as I was listening to this week's ramble. He said, I avoided contact as delaying his lunch might have had serious consequences for my safety. Now, that may well be your interpretation of events, Mr. McConnick, whatever your name is, Cormack. But
Nixie.
I'll tell you how it happened. You looked at me, you saw I was Luke from the Ramble, you thought about saying hello, you bottled it, and you walked off by going, Ramble, like that. He literally said that to me, Ramble, and walked off. So I was happy to leave it there, Jonathan. You clearly weren't. So that might be your interpretation of events, but I will tell you, the people assembled there would have seen it much differently.
Did you just describe it as Luke from the Ramble?
That's what he
right.
That's what he looked
next
at.
To you describing yourself as Kurt Cobain in the National Press today.
Well, as I said to you before,
wearing a cardigan today, just like Kurt Cobain used to.
If anything, I mean, you said this to me earlier, Kurt Cobain was done by 27. I was only just getting started at 27. So make of that what you will. Anyway, my beef with Jonathan, not with Kurt.
Kurt versus Luke.
Any curses for Kurt, Peter?
No.
Okay. Menfister Pie, superb goal for Liam.
Oh, that was wonderful.
He wasn't even looking at the goal. How does that even work?
Yeah, right. What an absolute hit that was.
From the halfway line.
Especially because I spent most of the time watching that bloody Fulham goalkeeper almost in the centre circle going, just hit it. Somebody hit it.
We're 3-0,
3-1 down. Just hit it.
Where's Charlie Adam when you need him?
What about... Go on, Jim.
Mine was Mauro Icardi and Ever Banega both getting hat-tricks for Inter the weekend.
Wow.
They won 7-0 against Atalanta, I think.
Amazing.
Apparently that was...
A lot of syllables in all of that story.
Atalanta, 21% of the goals they've conceded this season were in that game.
Wow.
That was a stat for you, Donny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that wow that you both did at the same time. Wow.
PD.
Yo.
But that's what happens when people say something interesting.
All right. Well, let's have more of that then on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I've been saying it for months.
What about the online petition that at the time of recording has over 200,000 signatures calling for the second leg of the Barcelona PSG match to be replayed by a killjoy Real Madrid fan?
Oh, my God.
A Real Madrid fan.
Yeah,
that's
so
is.
Good.
And presumably, all the rest of them are, and PSG fans. he thought that there were too many refereeing errors. So the petition is on change.org, so sign up there. There are 13 questionable calls in total, according to this Madrid fan, and one of the calls was simply 5 minutes of added time, in brackets, or until Barca score.
The great thing about this is Real Madrid is still in it.
Yeah, yeah. Still literally still win.
Shot on your own team.
Oh, it's just superb.
If,
isn't
if that had happened against Real Madrid, you could sort of see his mentality where he's coming from. They're still in it. They got through that round fine. So what are you worried about?
I know, it's just sensationally good.
I do wonder what these people used to do before the advent of internet petitions.
Have you ever started a petition, Donny? You must have done.
No, never.
You're not your thing, no.
You've had petitions.
I got
involving...
a pub start a fight, with the pool cue.
Is that right?
You've had petitions involving your name, though.
Yeah, people positioning against you.
So get out of my area.
Yeah. Mostly people from towns in the Far East, presumably.
they send out leaflets when I arrive.
What?
Any more for any more?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
Unpack
then.
That one at your leisure.
Let's leave.
Like they did with the bloke from The Who and the Super Bowl.
Stop
I'm
it.
Not getting into it. It's fine.
Oh, that's... now you're comparing yourself to The Who. If I compare myself to Kurt Cobain, it's all hell breaks
loose. The one who's got a sex criminal record.
I agree with you, Marcus.
Should I not?
Marcus, I agree with you. You should have wrapped it up earlier.
Yeah, should have wrapped it up, mate.
You know what happens if you don't?
Because the ramble can be libelous. It's not just Peter.
This is on you.
That's fine.
Not libelous.
Not for now.
Not for now.
Let's get out of here. Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luke, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Petey.
Sex criminal.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Why When Question Time is a Stack production.